Let the word be taught with clarity, and let us receive understanding and revelation as found in your Son, Jesus. Let us be edified. Let our eyes see Jesus, and let the scriptures edify us by your power. We decree that we will not remain the same, if not that tonight, tonight's meeting, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so we began a series on the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation. That was last week, right? We began a series on the book of Revelation, and I think the topic is explaining the book of Revelation, explaining it in its original context. The book of Revelation, this Bible itself is inspired by God, and it is God's word to us. So we must be serious about what is written there. Pastor says, said that the way you treat God's word is the way you treat God. If you do not read the Bible, if you do not have the attitude of wanting to know what's there, means that's exactly how you value God. So if you want to really honor God, you would honor him by knowing his word. That is the way to honor God, because honoring God has nothing to do with your desire to honor him. That is, it has nothing to do with your wish to honor him. It doesn't end at you desiring to honor him, you know, singing the songs and all of that. But the honor comes in when you follow him. Honor comes in when you follow him. You know, honor comes when you follow him. Honor comes when you follow someone. Amen. So our attitude to God's word must be number one before every other thing. It must be the priority of our life endeavors to know the Father, to know the Lord. Right? Paul speaking says, "I desire to know nothing among you." To know 1 Corinthians 2. "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." In other words, in today's English, that would mean I determined not to discuss anything else with you guys but the message of Jesus Christ. So I came to you, Corinthians, I came to you guys not to sell and to trade or to do anything else, but I came with the gospel. And I came to teach you the cross so that your faith will not rest in any other thing else, but in the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "All scripture," look at it, let's look at it together. 2 Timothy. I'm trying to find how to record. Anyways, I will find it out. I will find it out very soon. Amen, amen. I try to find out how to go live and do all of these things, but as Christ leads, look at verse 15. Paul speaks. He says, "From a child," speaking to Timothy, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus." Then he says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work," or unto all good works. Now, notice what Paul explains the scripture as here. You know, in today's world, when we are reading that text, it says, "And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures." A typical, I'm not trying to be negative now, but it seems like certain Christians that, or let me just say, it seems to be a modern practice, which it is actually, that when you read the Bible, you read it as though it is talking directly to you, or as if it was written to you. Okay, so it's a practice that was introduced from Westernization. It's called an individualistic mode of interpretation of scriptures. It's something that is it started about the 19th century, all right, as one of the respected historians noted. It started, I think her name is Armstrong, trying to remember her full name. think I have one of, I don't know where I have one of. So, but it's established amongst many historical sources, respected sources, that this idea of having you know, the gospel, you're reading the Bible, and then you're like, oh, this is talking to me. Or you read, for example, you read in Samuel, First Samuel, and Hannah prayed unto God, and God remembered her. Then you then say, that means I will change the word Hannah and put it to myself. And then Bianca prayed unto God, and God heard her prayers. You know, it's something that was not necessarily practiced amongst those people. Now, Paul tells us how to read the scriptures. Yeah, he said from a child. Now, when he says from a child, your question as a believer shouldn't be, oh, God is talking to me. Oh, Cheta, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Because if you let's assume someone that has never known the scriptures from his youth or from a younger age or from whatever it is that the word child here is used to refer to, if you have somebody that read it from that never knew the scriptures all his life and probably got born again when he was 60, and you say from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, the person would not be able to connect, as we often say. He wouldn't interpret it correctly. In fact, he will be disconnected from that specific sentence. So he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. So who is that person that knew the Holy Scriptures from his youth or from his infancy? The word child, the word infancy, means a place of an unskilled state, right? Or an innocent state, an original state of growth. So from a child you have known the Holy Scripture. So who would be that person? So how would you know who's that person? You will have to find out, who is that child? So that means the Bible is like an account of other events. So the Bible is not speaking to you. The Bible is speaking to someone else. So when you're reading the Bible, you're not reading it as something that is speaking directly to you. So now, let's see, how would you find out? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. How would you find out? Paul, an apostle, right, of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. We all know that this is not God speaking. No, when we are much younger, we are taught that everything that's written in the Bible is God speaking. Right. No, that's exactly what we are taught, that everything in the Bible is what God speaking. So whenever you're reading it, just know that that's what God is saying to you. And that's caused a lot of confusion in the body of Christ, because a lot of believers found themselves claiming, having specific verses, claiming quote-unquote promises. So if, for example, I want a promotion in my job, I then look for the scripture that says you will be the head and not the tail. So that's in Deuteronomy 24. Is that Deuteronomy 24? Is somebody, Bible scholars, you will be the head and not the tail. Somebody, come on. Deuteronomy 20 what? Okay, somebody find it and let me know. Okay, I will be the head and not the tail. So you then find that scripture and say, oh, that scripture is referring, I will be the head in my office. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be the head. I will be above. So we were taught. Deuteronomy 28, exactly. Thank you so much. So Deuteronomy 28. So I will be the head and not the tail. And then we keep that verse and say, yes, I'll be the head. Then you then skip all that part that you didn't really connect, that were looking a bit alien, strange to you. The parts that say, if only you do and observe every single thing that the Lord has said. And it says you skip the part that says, cursed are you in the city if you don't do it. Cursed are you in the field. Cursed are you. Cursed. I say, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. God is a good God. God is a good God. You know, you just keep all of those texts and you pick the ones that you like. And you say God was speaking to you. No, you loved that verse. Hallelujah. It's not that God was speaking. No, we often use our desires to to define God's voice. So if what that voice told us seemed to be in tune with our desires or our ambitions, it then that's God's word. For example, somebody wants to marry, and they say, God is saying to you tonight, it's saying to you that you're going to marry this year. You say, yes, that's God's word. How do you know that's God's word, sir? Because obviously I want to marry. Hallelujah. How do you know that's God's word? I want to get married because, for example, I am at the age that is, I'm able to take another person, have a job that, you know, I'm able to use to take care of myself and somebody else. So I am definitely ready to marry. Right? Or I am looking beautiful. My whole body tells me I am ready to, you know, support a man. I'm ready to go with a man that is a leader. I'm ready. I'm on fire for God. You know, I take care of myself. I have a right mindset toward it. So it's not news that I want to get married. So you don't now say because somebody said something that was in tune with your ambitions that you now say that's God's word or that's the Holy Ghost. Oh, God just spoke to me. The prophet said to me, Your name is Ruth. Your name is Ruth. And then you say that's God's word. No, not necessarily because you knew your name was Ruth. You knew it. So how do you define what is God's word? By understanding his word. Understanding what he can say and what he cannot say. Understand his emphasis. By emphasis is plural. Emphasis, S-E-S. His emphasis, right? Understand his emphasis and, you know, his nature. So that will help you to guide, that will guide you in interpreting the word of God and interpreting prophecies. So I'm not saying that God cannot speak to something that has to do with your own ambitions. No. But with proper understanding of his word, first of all, you correctly be able to interpret other things. Amen? So now look at Paul speaking, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Look at it again. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known. So who is the thou? Is it you? No, it is Timothy, or it was Timothy. Now, Paul was speaking to Timothy, right? Look, notice something here he's doing here. He said, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make... Now, when he said Holy Scriptures, what is the word Holy Scriptures? The word Holy Scriptures is what Hagios grammar. Hagios grammar, right? Means sacred writings. It says you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, when he was writing to Timothy, Holy Scriptures, the book of Timothy was not included in Holy Scriptures. So the book of Timothy would not count to Timothy as Scripture. So to Timothy, the Holy Scriptures will be something that he had then as Scripture. So he said, so what would have been Timothy's Holy Scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. So which are able to make thee wise, able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. So they're able to make him understand the subject of salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. So for Timothy to be able to be a sound preacher of God's word, he's meant to know that the Scriptures are able to give him that ability to understand the topic of salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Then verse 16 then says, all scripture referring to what? Genesis to Malachi. So when you see in the Bible, every, all, don't think it is every and anything today. You have to think of the all as a, you know, in context. All right, you have to explain every term in context. So when he says all scripture, it didn't include the book of Timothy. It was referring to the all in his time. So all of that scripture, Genesis to Malachi, not everything. That's what I say, I can do all things. I can do all things. All things are mine. I have all things. All things, all things, all things. You know, we are very ambitious. I was speaking to somebody, I said, the African theology will not thrive in so many other places that their doctrine does not matter, you know, find the relevance. You are saying the Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more. If you go to Egypt and you tell Egyptians, the Egyptians you see today, you see them no more, you will be no more from that point. Yeah. You know, Egypt is one of the most difficult places to get into as an African, as a Nigerian specifically. You know, because Nigeria has experienced a lot of... Nigeria is a Netflix series right now. But we trust God that he would raise up his kingdom there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So to Paul, it says all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. So that means it is one thing to know the message of the scriptures. That is, to understand the context of the scripture. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Understand the context of the scriptures. And then understand that it is now profitable for doctrine. It didn't say all the scripture is doctrine. So not everything you're seeing there is doctrine. Oh, you said it, and that is the truth. Mm-mm. It is profitable for, that is, you can use the scriptures to derive doctrine of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I hope you know that many religions sprouted from Judaism. That is, many religions use the Bible that you use today to support their own religion. You know that? Praise God. You know, in the writings of prophets, in the writings of certain prophets, you will find, not, for example, people today have many arguments about the book of Enoch, right? I don't talk about lost books of Bible because it's not necessary. People have arguments about the book of Enoch because according to them, it is scripture, but it's not included in the Christian canon. That is an example of a book that is irrelevant to what the Christian focus is. So, the scriptures itself is supposed to teach you something specific. But you find out that Jews are conversant with such books and many others. All right? But you see, even before some, because prophets will write, Moses started, and then other prophets built upon what Moses taught. But if you find that certain people that did not buy into the Judaist religion started their religion from that same Judaist religion doctrine. But you see, Paul tells Timothy here that these scriptures are profitable to teach you salvation. So you don't just read the Bible and say, you're just reading everything that's there. You shall be the head and not the tail. I will be the head and not the tail. Sir, be careful. So that you do not get yourself into false hope and false faith. Which means you're meant to have a skill or a, you're meant to have a specific skill in interpreting the text of the scriptures. That's why he uses the word profitable for doctrine. He didn't say it is doctrine. So that it is written there does not mean it is doctrine. You will be able to derive doctrine from it, but it does not mean it is doctrine. So it says for reproof. The word reproof there is evidence. So for you to, for example, if you want to understand God's power, you see the evidence of God's power in the writings of the prophets. For correction, if you want to understand the nature of God, if you read it, you'll be able to be corrected. Now, is it that everything there is correction? No. You can use it to correct. That's the point. So for instruction, you can use it to instruct in what? Righteousness. So the aim of it is what? Righteousness. It says so that the man of God may be what? Perfect and thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So that is the essence of interpreting. So if your interpretation of the scripture does not result in righteousness, that is in right living, that is in terms of your conduct, and also what? In every good work and the service of God and the worship of God that is through faith in Christ Jesus. If that is not the essence if that is not the image that is derived from your exegesis and your biblical whatever it is, if that's not what we see, then you're misinterpreting the scripture. So Paul tells Timothy it is profitable. So he didn't say, Timothy, everything there is God speaking. He said it is profitable. You can use it for, we read it, we understand what happened, and then we use those things as lessons for us. So he says in 1 Corinthians, they say these things were written aforetime, was written for us that we might learn from them. All right, they were written for our learning. So you read a scripture in context and then you interpret it, right, from the lesson you learned from it. In the same way, that is exactly how you read every other book of the Bible. Hallelujah. So if I'm reading the book of Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 1 again. We just talked about it a little bit. If you read this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show him unto his servants, I'm reading chapter 1 now, verse 1, which things must shortly come to pass. You shouldn't be thinking that the things that will shortly come to pass after 2023. No, that would be misinterpreting it. So you must read it in the context of that verse. Shortly come to pass when? From where? Or you, you know? All right? You look at it. It says, come to pass, and he sent and signified by the angel unto his servant John. Look at verse 4. It says, John to the seven churches which are at Asia. So it's come to pass where, first of all, would be in Asia. In the Middle East. Hallelujah. Come to pass there. Come to pass there. Hallelujah. Not come to pass in Africa. Or anywhere else in the world. Come to pass there. Look at chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So unto that pastor, now the word angel referred to the pastor, the leader of the church. Unto the messenger of the church, that's the word angel of Ephesus. You know, someone that doesn't read this thing properly will say, No, there are specific angels of every church. There's an angel that hovers around. Hallelujah. It's just the pastor. Just read chapter 1. It's just the pastor. A pastor is sometimes referred to as an angel. Amen. No, you know, over the church, there's an angel that sent. Oh, I often see some teachings online. I'm privileged. I am unprivileged, unfortunately, to come across strange teachings. Strange, and this is things that are taught amongst what we might say is a Christian gathering. Things that you will not hear Jesus teach, you will not hear the apostles teach. You will see somebody teaching it. In the middle of the night, that's the time to access deep power. If you know this, see, these things are not in the Bible. That's as they say. They're not in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. But I know these things. Who taught you that? Who? Is that what you derive from the scriptures? Poor reading of the Bible brings about lack. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Unto the angel. Who is the angel? The pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the pastor of the church. So now, you must read the book of Revelation in the context You must read the book of Revelation in its context. So, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So, now, in my reading the book of Revelation, I won't just say that was for them and not for me. Okay? But I will read it and understand what happened to them. So that I learn, right? I can learn, I can derive a lesson, I can derive a doctrine, I can derive an evidence, all right, that will guide me to righteous living. So if your interpretation of Revelation or the Bible itself leads you into anything else but righteousness and the worship of God, it is not the right, it is an erroneous heresy, it is heretical, all right? Alright, so that is the essence of scriptures. Because the Old Testament is where the New Testament doctrine is derived from. And since the New Testament is derived from the Old Testament, that means the New Testament is just the Old Testament explained in the context of another world. Tonight, we just see one of them. There's a term called the day of the Lord used in the book of Revelation. And the word last days, didn't start from the book of Revelation. The word last days started from the scriptures. But you see, the context of the word last days was interpreted in different worlds. So we had the one for them, that is in time of the prophets, and then we had the ones for the nation, the first century Christians, the nation of Israel, and the first century Christians, they had their own last days. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 24, we see, now, let me just, before we get there, because most likely we'll get there in our next teaching, but let's just quickly run through this angel's church and all of that stuff. All right, so we'll just look at so certain things so that we can understand the book of Revelation accurately. So we've established that, number one, you must read it in context. Then number two, you must realize that you can learn lessons from that. So you use the lesson that you derive to apply it in your own world today. And then something I also said, I said that when you see the word all saints, all this, or for example, you say pray for all saints. You know that when it says all saints, it's referring to the saints in that vicinity. It's not talking about everybody in everywhere. No, say all those saints. So what you see, and every tribe, every religion, every this, every that, it would be in their world. Not today. Hallelujah. So when I see, for example, I see a number that could not be number of every tribe, every tongue. It was in that world, not today. All right, so now, unto the angel, chapter 2, verse 1, of the church of Ephesus, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, because somebody will say, Chetan is saying that there's not going to be rapture. Amen. Me saying that there's not going to be rapture will be like someone in, will be like Paul, for example, claiming that there's no salvation in Christ. You know, Paul is the one that explained it properly to us, clearly, right? It would be the same if what I'm saying now, if you are thinking I'm saying there's no rapture, all right, that would be equal to saying that Paul said there's no salvation in Christ, all right? Amen. So now just read again, but read the Bible in context. Don't be scared of reading the Bible in context. It's God's word. Amen. It says, this thing said he that holdeth the seven stars and the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, lampstands. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, or thy perseverance, and how you can bear, endure them which are evil. And thou hast tried, tested them, which say that they are apostles and are not, and has found them lies. Please, I need to read this in another translation. I do not want to be straining my vocal cords. Revelation chapter 2. I need to find the NLT now. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2. Sorry, just 1 second. Revelation chapter 2. Alright, I read from verse 3. It says, you have patiently suffered for me without quitting, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Now in the King James Version it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou have left thy first love. People often it's a popular Christian teaching, or whatever it is, when people say you've left your first love, that you go to hell because you left your first love. And that word first love always seems kind of mysterious to me. What is first love? God said, you are going to hell because you've left your first love. What is first love? What is that? That love, that you loved him with all your heart and your mind. Is that what he said? What is first love? What is it? What is first love? You know, someone said religion thrives on mystery. This is an example. You know, when they want to trap you, they want to control you, they use mystery. That's why when somebody is teaching us, like, is making the Bible seem like a mysterious thing, the person is about to trap you, is about to limit your favor towards God. But somebody say, You need to, there are certain things that are unheard of that Jesus never said. The person is putting you in control. Hear me and hear me again. The Bible is very simple in its message. Know the Lord, serve him, worship him, finish. There is nothing you need. before you see, you need to break the back of Satan in your life. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to set in for you to rise. There has to be for God to announce you have to have fasted for 40 days. Yeah? Nothing is not God desires nothing but worship. Worship the Lord in spirit and in the truth. That is, know the Lord. Jesus is the end of realms. There are realms of this. When you enter a specific realm, you go to another realm. You enter another realm, you enter another portal. You enter another portal, you enter another vicinity. There's a vicinity where there's a level in the spirits. Sir, in Him are you complete. Colossians 2. It says, in Christ, you are complete. Christ Jesus is the end of every revelation. To know the Lord is the end, is the clearest revelation. There is nothing else that can exist. For in Him do all things consist. He is the Godhead. For in Him, Christ Jesus, do all the Godhead bodily dwell. In Christ. Christ is the end of every realm. No realm. No realm. I said this the other day in the Victor invited me for his meeting in school. I'm very careful with saying things, but I just said it. I saw somebody shortly leave that place. And I think I asked him, I said, what happened? He explained to me what happened. It happens to be that certain people there are, patriots of such teachings, such unbiblical teachings. Jesus will not smile, will not teach that nonsense. Did you ever see Jesus teach that? Did you ever see the apostles teach that? Sir, to know the Lord, that all men will know the Lord, is the desire of Jesus Christ. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? What is the truth? Is there? Paul said, I taught you the whole counsel of God, Acts 20. The whole counsel of God. There's nothing else to be taught. Is what is there that is there. What you need to do is to understand what is there, not what you have, what is not there. Do you understand? Certain people don't want to read what is there. They're looking for what is not there. You don't even know what is there in the first place. So how would you know? How would you be able to correctly filter? What do you know? How did I get there? First love. Mystery. Mystery takes you nowhere. Mystery gives you an illusion of revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. Mystery gives you an illusion of spiritual growth. Everybody knows that I'm not talking about against any minister. You know one thing about people. That's why I don't do this. If you do something wrong, I just demonize you. No, I don't do that. And I'm not demonizing anybody that teaches this. I didn't say don't listen to them. I'm giving you wisdom, common sense to read the Bible. It's that simple. Christ Jesus, that He died for you, and that you are forgiven of your sins, past, present, and future, and that you have life eternal in Him, and that you are given a mandate to walk His work here on earth, to suffer for His name, to erect His kingdom here on earth. That is the end. Worship God. There's nothing like realm and portal. Jesus Christ, I don't know the portal He was, or the Paul, which portal? He's in Christ. If any man be in what? Christ. He said, Christ in you, the hope of, you are in Christ. Which realm? Man, now get head above. Hala, Barbara, here. Broom, boom, boom, boom. Mando bruba de ba ho or the honor ba ben ya ba ba ha ba the dogs are the other yeah bonus the he yeah de ge kelinda vra akabai vra kelinda bari gabush bari ge bogo brege jaka ge. That is the meaning of God's word. Worship the Lord. You know why people subscribe to such teachings? Because they're ambitious for recognition. So God will announce you. It's not in the Bible. God will announce you. It's not in the Bible. You know what he hears from Jesus' mouth? You. If you want recognition, go and get recognition outside the gospel. Not with the gospel. See, there's something inside of you that God wants to show the world. Sir, if it's not Jesus crucified, please X that thing. It is nothing but human ambition. It is unchristlike. Christ teaches us to deny ourselves. He says, anyone that follows me and does not deny himself first is not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit to reign. To reign in God's kingdom is to be seen as a servant, as a boy. That master they were calling Jesus, because he was a servant too. That's why somebody just come from nowhere and say, you don't honor my grace. Who are you to? Why would I honor you? Who are you? As what? You don't honor my grace. If you're not a servant of the Lord, if I don't see your labor and love for the body of Christ, you don't deserve honor. You don't deserve it. Honor is not something that is demanded. Hallelujah. Anyone that does not deny himself and take up his cross is not fit to reign. It's not fit for the kingdom. People say it's not fit for, but he will not go to heaven. That is another problem again. Misinterpretation of the scriptures. The word kingdom means to reign. You are not fit to reign in life. In the kingdom, you'll be counted as the least. That's what Jesus Christ said. He then says, if your righteousness does not pass supersede the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom. It means to reign. Hallelujah. Amen. So, but that's just by the way. That's just by the way. Amen. I don't know how I got there. Mystery is on. It's you know, if Paul was sitting down where some people were teaching, he would just say, what is this dung? Is this what I left Judaism for? I was a Pharisee of Pharisee. Where could you check me that I was not up to do or well to do? I was everything. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Alright? But see, I counted all of these things lost for the excellency of Christ. If somebody is not teaching how to know the Lord Jesus Christ, person is not, they are not growing spiritually. Paul said it's profitable for doctrine. Right? Which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ. So salvation is the subject, which is through faith. Then next verse is for good works. Don't complicate your Christian life looking for what is not in the Bible. The gospel of Thomas, gospel of Judas, gospel of this. You get into trouble trying to find out what is not in the scripture. But that is just by the way. In the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. So I'm not against any minister. All right? I'm the kind of person that I believe that there's a place to call a false teacher and to be to completely eradicate such person and their teachings from you. I do that, and I teach people that certain people are not teachers of the gospel of Christ, even though they claim to be. Well, let me tell you the truth. It does not mean that if someone is not teaching the gospel, that you cannot learn from them. Don't just take them seriously. Hallelujah. You can't take them seriously as someone that you derive theology from. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But there's a place to take away heretical preachers. We see those things spelled out in the scriptures. They are called the Antichrist. That is, they are against the gospel of Christ. They go against the claims of the gospel, the essential claims of the gospel, the deity of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Those are the Antichrists. Those are people that you don't listen to. But there are some motivational speakers that you can learn from, but don't take them as gospel teachers. Some teach you business very well. Listen to them. Thank God for them. But they're not gospel teachers, sir. Amen. So, you have known your first love. First love means you expressed his love. At an initial stage, you expressed his love. Your first attitude of love. So you are so good. You preach the gospel. You win souls. All of that stuff. But no love. You're ministering. Oh, fire, take it. Hush. You know? I'm a man of fire. No. Love. If Jesus was there, say, you have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken your first love. We are in, that is if you are here, David. We are reading the book of Revelation chapter 2. Okay, verse 4. Now, verse 5. Revelation 2, verse 5. It says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. What are the works? Works of love. Works inspired by love. That's how believers are meant to be. All these, you show this, you show how you are. You're always wanting to show off your good works. It's just, doesn't count before God. Doesn't count. It says, if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Now, what is lampstand? The King James Version uses the word candlestick. In Jesus' parables, he often used the word lampstand or light to refer to ministry, to refer to his ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ. So let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify the Father. So light refers to ministry, good works. The ministry, the office of ministry. So no one lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. Refer to ministry. The word of God is a light unto my path. The ministry of his word. So Jesus saying, I will come and take away that lampstand that you have put, that good works, your good works which you have been showing, those works. He mentioned those previous works. See, I will take it off. I will take it off from you. It didn't say they're going to hell. It didn't say they will lose their salvation. It said, I will take off that ministry, that office from you. That means you'll not be laboring in vain. Your light will just be dim. I will take it off from you. You believe born in vain. That is it. Before, obviously, in the world, you might not have such, but before Christ. That's why it is. Okay. The word lampstand, let me say it again. In Jesus' parables, Jesus uses lampstand, uses light to refer to ministry and his word, the ministry of his word. Let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works. So, the good works is that light. Okay? The good works refers to the light, the ministry of the believer. Good works is light. Jesus, John 8, I am the light of the world. I am the light. Anyone that follows me will not walk in darkness. So, what is this asking to follow? Follow his works. Follow me. Follow Jesus. And obviously, we know that his works is not solitary of his word. So his word and his works together. Because his works are a confirmation of his word. Okay, so it's the whole idea of ministry. So when you say light or lampstand, we know this is a vision. And we have to use the terms used here. Right, according to what we have seen in the synoptic gospels from Jesus Christ. So we said lamp or lampstand. Jesus Christ saying, no man lights up a candle and puts it under a bushel, under a table, but you put it where everybody can see. So let your light so shine. So what was he talking about there? He was talking about good works. So when Jesus said, I will look at it again, verse 5, look how far you have what? Fallen. Falling from what? That work, those works that were inspired by love. It says, you have fallen, turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. So that means that lampstand that Jesus Christ used to minister to his people, he will take it out. Someone else will take that place. Maybe to you, you still have the crowd, you still have the command and all of that, the influence. But before Jesus Christ, you are no longer useful. He's not with you. He's not. You are born again, you have eternal life, but your reward is gone. Yeah, because Jesus has removed. Now, we know we're saying removed. Jesus is not actively removing, he's not coming to you and using his hand to take it. No. It's obviously a vision. Once again, it's a symbolism. So he's actually saying that you would lose your reward for ministry. Your that is in the eyes of God, you are not being used by him. You are no longer a channel where he's working with. You are still doing the typical Christian activity, but because love is out of there, you are not, God is not with you. God will always confirm his name, always confirm his word, but God is not with you. So, you know, in doing God's work, know that it's not about what people say or how lives are affected, which must be part of that. But it's about how, what is the inspiration? What is your inspiration? You know, this thing is a two-fold coin. There's something I see. When we believers stereotype and judge people, it's very demonic. If, for example, I see, let's say Victor starts a work, and in my head I'm thinking, oh, Victor wants to be seen. He wants to be seen. You know, I'm being stupid, right? You know that, right? Or maybe, let's say Victor goes online on Facebook and start preaching God's word, and I start thinking he wants to be seen, or maybe he's looking for attention, or something like that. You know, well, thank you, Lord Jesus. So it's wrong to do things like that, but at the same time, it is possible that he does that, or someone does something even less, or someone that's not even on social media, right? Or someone like me that doesn't like to. I used to be more than this before, though. But you know, but these days, I know that very soon, maybe. Anyways, but let's just say someone that's not on social media. You know, the person can be doing a little on groundwork and still be working out of love. His work will not be from love. His work will be from personal ambition. So it's about what Jesus is seeing in your heart. Why are you doing that? I told somebody, okay, no need. So do you get the point? Do you get the point? I don't know if you understand it. So, you know, do you understand that point? So your lampstand is that ministry, that influence that God has used you to, that influence that you had, Jesus is taking it out. I will take it out. So verse 6 says, but this is in your favor. You hate evil deeds and of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. Anyone who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit let him listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Not to your local church. Now, but you know that your local church, because it's also a church of Christ, would use that same connector to apply to yourself. So it also includes your church. Okay? But you know, you now have a better understanding of the book of Revelation, knowing that it was something that happened to them, to their world. So when I say, but what about the prophecies about the, you know, the stars coming down to the earth and, you know, the scrolls being opened and so many apocalyptic expressions? You realize that in the Jewish, it's very common in Judaism, and I'll show you guys examples. It's very common in Judaism to see apocalyptic grammar. Very common. It's something that they did. And as someone that is reading in English, modern English today, you are very liable to think that they are literal. Some people actually think that there's a time that certain demons with so many heads will come out of the sea. Or maybe they even think that Jesus Christ is a goat. You know, they say he's a lamb. And they say he has a sword coming out of his mouth. Some people maybe they think he just has sword, literal sword coming out of his mouth. And then he has seven eyes. Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why they didn't believe he was God. They didn't get my joke. They are not in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. You understand that? So, you have to understand the apocalyptic language that was used. Amen. We'll get into that. Verse 7. Are you there? So, verse 7. Anyone with ears must hear, the Spirit said, I understand what he's saying to seven churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give him from the fruit of the tree of life, the paradise of God. Okay? Now, gradually I'm beginning to change my views on the tree of life. Now, it's not a literal tree. I don't believe so. But I'm thinking it's referring to something much more specific than just eternal life. Okay? I will let you guys know when I'm clear on that. Okay? So, verse 8. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and last, who was dead, but now is alive. I know your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Let me read that properly again. This is Jesus speaking. Obviously, an angel is typifying it. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. So despite the fact that you are poor, you don't really have material, affluence or all of that stuff. We can't count you as one of those that are, quote unquote, living kingdom life. You know, as Christians, they say, kingdom, we are in the kingdom. We are meant to have money. You are meant to be the best in every field. Kingdom, that's when you're living that king, in that kingdom. You know, that kingdom that will But there's nothing like kingdom, whatever. Kingdom, no one say kingdom today. Kingdom, people are thinking excellence in natural terms, in worldly terms, rather, in earthly terms. Kingdom. As a kingdom financier, or let's say, as a kingdom economist, and my own economical skills must supersede those that are not born again, that are not in the kingdom. You know, the kingdom life will set you above every other of your all your spheres. The kingdom life will make you the head and not the tail. The kingdom life was that life that Abraham lived. Abraham lived that life of the kingdom. Abraham understood the kingdom. That's why the Bible says that Abraham, God blessed him. I said, I will bless you and I will bless you and I will bless you. And Abraham traveled from one land to another. And Abraham moved with wealth. He moved from Abraham to Jacob. And Jacob, they understood the kingdom, that kingdom life. But they forget that Abraham's father was not poor. Abraham was a rich person, even without knowing God. He was rich. He traveled with servants. Servants. The Bible says he traveled with servants. You don't find a poor person traveling with servants. He was already rich. It is common, it's expected that it will continue. Amen. Someone said, kingdom. And I said, the kingdom we are speaking of, who owns the kingdom? Is it the kingdom of God? Is the kingdom where everybody, calm down. Jesus owns the kingdom, right? Good. Was Jesus in the kingdom here on earth? He said, yes. Jesus is that king. He's the kingdom. Did Jesus have money? Or was Jesus poor? No. The Bible says he was made poor. See, look at you. Look at it. The other quote says, it was made poor that you might be rich. Why was he made poor? What about the people before him? Why is it him that will be poor? The people before him, they were rich and he was poor. Problem, Deo. I thought we were in the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic lineage. Am I not in an Abraham? I'm supposed to be flowing in riches. Elon Musk is not in Abraham's lineage. To the best of my knowledge, maybe he has tapped into the Abrahamic, and we do not know about it. Someone that bought Twitter for $46 billion. Hallelujah, Abraham. Abrahamic grace, I release it upon you tonight. Amen. So we take away context from this, and we over spiritual, there's not over spiritualized. Spirituality is supposed to be over, but spirituality is supposed to have its zone of operation. It shouldn't be encompassing to common sense. There's common sense, there's common understanding, there's natural world, there's a natural world, and then there's a spiritual world. Both of them have their own play, they know where to play, they have their own path, their own jurisdiction. Okay, so we often read Abraham and we think, God bless, has special. No, the guy was rich. Amen. But Jesus, they said Jesus was made poor that might be rich. Now, if you read that scripture in context, you realize that That's referring to a spiritual poverty. Poverty in the sense that he was in his heavenly glory and he became a man as earthly and weakling so that everybody would receive the riches of his kingdom. Riches of what? Eternal life. Not money. So because if you look at his time, you discover that many people were poor. Even he was poor. See, he said, I have nowhere to sleep. He was poor. It was people that supported him. Luke chapter 8. You find out that people supported Jesus Christ. See, but he told them to go and get money from the fish of the mouth of a fish. How many times? Even though that scripture is not very clear, there are so many questions on that scripture. But you don't find Jesus Christ. He was not rich. No apostle was rich. Okay, sorry. Paul the apostle was a rich person. He came from a rich home. Paul the apostle. We had other rich believers. Yes, but that was not something that was for every believer. Not every believer was rich. And it was not because they got born again. You find out that it was when they got born again that those who were rich unbelievers initially were the ones that sold their lands and houses to provide for those who were poor. So riches and wealth have nothing to do with your state in Christ, or have nothing to do with either you being born again or born again. But Jesus in this context, so you understand that point now. So you cannot say Jesus was made poor that might be made rich, because you often find people that say that Jesus was made poor that might be made rich. You find them saying that, the reason that they are gambling on the garment, for the garment of Jesus Christ, for the garment of, and trying to get it, it was because Jesus was so rich and wealthy. The same people say that he was so wealthy that his garment was so expensive that he had to gamble and find, the ownership of it. You understand? So it's just, it's confusing. So back to Revelation chapter 2. Oh my goodness, our time is, hallelujah. Amen. Oh my goodness, hallelujah. So, let's just close for today. Let's end for today. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say that they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. So they are about to face persecution. Those are the things that are about to happen. The church was about to experience heavy persecution. So that means there can come a point where the gospel prevails so much, the devil brings heavy persecution against the church. Hallelujah. That's why, as a believer, in your formative years, take your time to understand God. Let it be that you build depth. Don't be that Christian that you're always talking. You don't have depth. You're not strong. You understand? All you know is those things that you just like. You understand? You must build depth. Because the truth of the matter is that persecution will come. Don't kid yourself. I've seen God has shown me certain things that will happen. I've seen things, you don't need to say them, but because the scripture is there. You don't need to say, the scripture has told you what is going to, it's going to happen again. Because of the gospel, when the gospel prevails, Satan will come against it. But you see, at the end of everything, there is a reward. So when Jesus said, I come to give my reward, I come quickly, Revelation 22, to give my reward is with me in my hands, he's talking about their world. Hallelujah. There's a reward for them because their time came and they passed. That's why I tell, okay, we end here. Praise God. Are you blessed tonight? Any questions quickly before we close? Any questions? Oh, yeah. Father, have mercy. Have your way. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Give you praise. Amen.